Philippians chapter number 4. Started working on this thought several days ago and had mentioned it a little bit in the men's meeting on Thursday night. And the Lord has just not let me get away from this for this morning. And so I desire your prayers that the Lord would help me to help you. Amen. And Philippians chapter number 4. Here's what the apostle said. Verse number 8, for sake of reading. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that's as far as I want to read for sake of reading. I understand in the context of the, especially the ending part of Philippians chapter number 4, the apostle is speaking to the Philippian church concerning their communication or their giving to his missionary trips that he had, his ministry. He went on three main missionary trips, and the Philippian church communicated with him. And when he's talking about that, if you read in the context, he's talking about how that they gave to his necessity. And they supported him as a missionary. They were doing that. What a blessing. That's not what I'm going to be preaching about today. What I am concentrating on is a part that the apostle said in verse number 12. He said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He said, I know how. I know how. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. And so that's what I want to preach about this morning, is where the Apostle Paul said, I know how. All of us, as even if you're not saved, people are looking for answers. Always looking for answers. Always trying to understand about their life or some situation, whether it be their family or their job or whatever that it is, there is a need inside of man to want to know how, to want to know what to do, what should I do. And speaking to God's people this morning specifically, we sometimes already have the answer. Many times we already have the answer.
Sometimes we're seeking to know how or what we should do. Many times I've said it in my life, I just don't know how I'm going to get through this. I just don't know how this is going to work out. I just don't know how I'll ever get beyond this or I'll ever go through this. But Paul said, I know how. Many answers are very simple for you and I as a child of God. It's as simple as the words in this book. Amen. And by the way, you and I, we're going to find out how always in this book. God has shown us how, told us how. Paul, in this chapter, he said that I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content, in verse number 11. And so you know how that he knew how? He learned. He said, I know how. I know both how and I know how. And then he said, I am instructed. And so Paul learned how to live for Christ. He learned how to accomplish the ministry that Christ had called him into. And by the way, Paul's know-how is like Job's know-how. It's our know-how. You know, Job's life is our life. We see Job's life many times, and it helps us to understand more about our life and the trials that we go through. And the Paul's know-how is going to help you and I to know how. Amen? And so we can know how. I know both how I'm instructed, and I know how I am learned. I've learned. And when you look at these, instructed, when Paul said, I am instructed, that means he had a direct command given to him. He had an official order, if you want to put it that way. Amen. The Bible said, the steps of a good man are ordered. Instructed by the Lord. Amen. Ordered by the Lord. It also means that he had been taught. He'd been taught like to teach us skill. You know, the disciples prayed, Lord, teach us to pray. They were saying, Lord, instruct us how to pray. Amen? He said, study to show thyself approved. You remember where Paul said that? Study. And so we're taught. Amen? And it also means to inform. It means to inform of the facts of the situation. You know, sometimes God, he doesn't leave things to for us to pray about. Sometimes he just said, look, this is the way it is. This is the way that I want it. Amen. This is what I think about it. Hey, that's good when you know clear in black and white the way God thinks about something. Amen. There's your answer. Should I be faithful to the house of the Lord or should I not? I mean, you got it right in his word where he said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. God wants you to be faithful. Amen. Should I give my heart and life to Christ? Should I be saved? Listen, it's not God's will that any should perish. God wants you saved if you're not saved. God sent his son to die that you might be saved. That's how much God wants you saved. Amen. There's some things that are plain. And so God informs us when he instructs us. But then Paul said, I've learned. I have learned. And I looked this up. I didn't look this up in the Strong's. I think it may have just been the Common Dictionary. But it means having much knowledge acquired by study. Having much knowledge acquired by study. So Paul said, I'm instructed, but then he said, I have learned. See, that's two different kinds of knowing. But either way, you come to the place where you know. Where you know, amen? You know what to do. And the greatest thing that Paul talks about a know-how in his knowing is knowing Christ. Amen. To really know Christ. And but Paul, he required it, this learn, I've learned. He mean he to master it, to take it in, to discover it. The opposite of that would be to forget. You know, some people, they let things go in one ear and right out the other. They forget. God wants you to know. He wants you to learn. He wants you to take it in. Amen? And sometimes through experience in life, we discover it. Either way, we have learned. In verse number 7 and 8, in chapter number 3, Paul talked about this. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. I'm talking about know-how and what you know and who you know. Amen? And so he learned in the flesh. What he had learned in the flesh, he had to cast aside. For the knowledge of Christ, amen? And that word knowledge that he wanted to gain, everything that he had learned in the flesh, he said, I'm willing to cast it aside for the knowledge of Christ. And that word that he used, that knowledge, is the word, where we get the word cognate. It comes from the Greek word gnosis. G-N-O-S-I-S, gnosis. It means to experientially know. It means a functional working knowledge. Are you listening? And it not only means a functional working knowledge, but the knowledge that you glean from firsthand experience. Are y'all listening to me? It talks about from a firsthand personal experience. Paul said, for the knowledge of Christ. That firsthand experience of Christ. Amen? That I may know Him. That's what he was after. That he knew Christ. In the verses on down, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. He said, I counted all these things, but done, that I may know for the knowledge of Christ. Amen? Knowledge is only as accurate or reliable as the relationship that it derives from. Don't tell me how to fix my car if you ain't never been around a motor. Amen? I ain't got a thing to listen to you about. Are you listening to me? Amen. If I need a part for the car, I'm not going to come ask Ben. I'm going to go ask Brother Mike. You know why? He's around parts all day long. Day in and day out. And he's been that way, and been that way for years. I think he knows a little bit about the auto industry. Amen. Are you listening? I say that your knowledge is only as accurate or reliable as the experience from the relationship that it derives from. Amen. Listen, the word agnosticism literally is for a cult that has come out, has been out for a long time. And it's based on having special personal knowledge. How can they be an agnostic and have special personal knowledge of God? There's no way. Hey, they no way they could know God. The very word that they say they are is hypocrisy. It talks about, it means to have a very personal knowledge, a very intimate relationship knowledge. Amen? That's where we get that word when Paul said, that I may know for the knowledge of Christ. That I could have that personal relationship, that I know what I'm talking about. You know why Paul could write the majority of the New Testament? Do you know why? After he came after Peter and James and John, yet Paul could stand shoulder to shoulder and say, I know what I'm talking about. You know why? He had an experience with Christ. He spent time with him, amen. That's how you and I know what to do in this. If you want to know what to do about your life and in this life and get answers for your life, know Christ. Have a relationship with him.
Amen. Amen. He'll tell you what to do. Amen. These things were gain, Paul said. It was his confidence in the flesh. In chapter number 3, look what he said in verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. See, you're going to have to put confidence in the flesh aside for the knowledge of Christ. Well, you know, I've got a pretty good brain, pretty good head on my shoulders. You're going to have to put that aside to know Christ, to have the knowledge of Christ. Because listen, a virgin birth ain't going to make sense to your carnal mind. Amen. Water parting and millions of Jews going across on dry ground ain't going to make no sense to a fleshly mind. If you're going to know Christ, you're going to have to put your confidence in your mind aside. Amen. We have to accept Him by faith. Accept His word by faith. And it was the command of circumcision. Look what he said. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man other think that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more circumcised the eighth day. I was circumcised, Jew. Do you know the command of circumcision? God gave it, but did you know Paul had to put what he thought about himself as a circumcised Jew aside to know Christ? Do you think him being a circumcised Jew was going to gain him anything with Christ? That's the very thing Paul wrote about in the book of Romans. He said, these things, listen, they're not gain. That was the old tent, the old command. And God commanded his people Israel, which Paul was an Israelite. Amen? He's bragging about that. He was of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. And every one of those were things that God instituted in the Old Testament under the law for the Hebrew people. But Paul said, if I'm going to know Christ, I can't lean on any of that. Amen. Not that it's done away with. I'm not saying that, you know, that it's done away with. Oh, no. Jesus said, I've not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Amen. The knowledge of Christ is not found in circumcision. The knowledge of Christ, listen, the law is the schoolmaster bringing us to Christ. Amen? It's what the Scripture says. All of that. Listen, the children of Israel, the Israelites, they're God's chosen people. But to say, hi, I'm one of Abraham's sons, that doesn't give me one step knowing Christ. If I'm going to know Christ, I've got to lay all the confidence of the flesh aside. I was a preacher's kid. I was a deacon's kid. We was in church for years. Always been in church. I've always heard the Bible. I've always believed all these things. To know Christ. I mean, do you have that personal relationship with Him? I know how. Paul said, I know how. And I know how because I know Him. Amen. I know how to abound and I know how to be abased because I know Him. Amen. These commands, these things. He said in verse 8, I count all things lost. I counted all things but dung. He said, I suffered the loss of all things. Now that was different than counting all things lost and counting all things dung. Those were things that Paul willingly said, I can push that aside. But when he said, I suffered the loss, it meant that he mentally
emotionally, a strong emotion, the capacity to feel suffering, to personally know Christ. These things, listen, do you not think that Paul wasn't fully engaged in being a Pharisee of the Pharisee? Sure he was. And the life that he strived, he said, according to the law, blameless. As far as a clean living Jew, a clean living Hebrew, Paul was. But he suffered loss. He had an emotion, I mean, in his mind, are you listening to me? That passion. I mean, his life before Christ, he was passionate about. Don't you think anything you're passionate about, you're going to feel some suffering when you have to push that aside? Sure you will. If you've ever been passionate about your life, and if it's something you have to put it aside that you may know Christ, you're gonna experience something up right up here. There's a warfare gonna go on right up here of suffering. But if you suffer with it, amen. Paul said in verse 10 that I may know him. That I may know him. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere I'm instructed, I've learned that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. In verse 10 through 12, the things that we suffer for Christ help us to know his suffering. Look what he said. Not as though I had already attained, in verse 12. Either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may be apprehended for that which also I am apprehended of Christ. The things that I am suffering for Christ, that which has hold of me, or that I have hold of, those things that I am suffering, that knowledge that I am striving to know him, will help me to know his suffering, but not only his suffering, his power. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. You see, the sufferings that we face as Christians, because the Bible says, if any man be in, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. See, you're going to suffer some things for Christ. You're going to suffer the putting away of this world, the hate of this world toward you. Jesus said, if they hate me, they'll hate you. If you live for Christ, if you fall after Christ, they're going to hate you just for who you're with. Because you're a Christian. Because you're a Christian. Do you think the hate of Christians is much further behind the hate of the Jews right now in this world? You know why they're hated? Because of the God they're connected to. That's it. It's the God that they're connected to. Why else? You say, well, I thought Islam, don't they have the same God? They may say they do, but it's not. And neither is the God of Buddha or any of these other religions. Listen, even the Jesus Christ of many religions is not the Jesus Christ of this Bible. Are you hearing me? The Lord told us there'd be false Christ in the last day. Amen. Paul, even in his day, said if any man preach any other Jesus than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Why? Because there's people then, and there's people now preaching other Jesuses. Not the Jesus of the Bible. Paul said, I want to know him. If I know him, I know how. You and I know how to get through this world. This world's getting worse. You and I are going to know how to walk it. Amen. Oh yeah. Look at this. Look at the scripture. We're going to know how to go forward. Verse 13 and 14 in chapter number 3. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I saw something when I was studying this. I'm talking about our knowing how to go forward. Listen, the world's at a standstill, many even going backwards. But you and I, church, God says we can go forward. We can keep moving forward. You know how we keep moving forward? Look what Paul said. Look at it. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. That word high, it also means upward. You know how to press forward? Look upward. Amen? If you want to press forward and know how to live, keep looking upward. Amen. You and I are looking upward, looking for the prize of the high calling of God. That prize is in Christ Jesus. It's in knowing Him. Amen. Knowing Him. Having that relationship, that firsthand knowledge that Paul is talking about. That relationship with Christ. Listen, he said, keep pressing forward by looking upward. The high calling of God. It's who we walk with. The Bible tells us that we can walk with the brethren. Verse 15 and 16 shows us about the unity of the brethren. He said in verse 15, let us, that's the brethren, therefore as many as be perfect, be thus minded, have this knowledge, have this knowing. If any thing, if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal. There's a kind of knowing. Revelation. God shall reveal even this unto you. I'm not talking about some new revelation as far as prophecy, but I'm talking about the Spirit of God. God, listen, if you're out of kilter some way, God will reveal it to you. He'll reveal that to you. Amen. The longer you're around someone, if they're honest with you, they're going to help you. I've been around young preachers for years, and I try to tell them, look, don't do things this way. Do it this way. You know why? I'm trying to teach them how to know what to do, how to be, because I love them, because of the relationship that we have. Amen? And that he's talking that similar way, that God would reveal it to us. Why would God, listen, do you remember God had a plan, and he said, I'm not going to keep it from my prophet. I'm not going to keep it from Abraham. Was it Abraham or was it Moses? Now, I'm not going to keep it from him. Amen. I'm going to let him know what I'm doing. I'm not going to hide it from him. Amen. I'll let him know what's happening, what I'm doing, what my purpose is, what my will is. Amen. And he said, let us mind the same thing. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. We know how to walk together. God's people, listen, if you want to know how to walk in this world, walk with God's people. If God's people's going this way and you're going that way, you're walking the wrong direction. If God's people are doing this and you're doing that, you're doing the wrong thing. I say if God's people, if they're really following Christ, if they are God's people and they're following Christ, you need to be going in the same direction. Amen? You don't need to be a sheep going astray. Amen. You need to be going with the rest of the sheep, following the good shepherd. But then there are those we do not walk with. Brethren, verse 17, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. People that ain't walking the way we walk, mark them. What does that mean? Know them. Well, that's somebody whose life I do not want to take my example from. They're not going to lead me to Christ. They're not going to lead me any closer to Jesus. That person will lead me away from Christ. Listen, you don't befriend with the world. You love the world. You be good to the world. You be the salt of the earth. You be the light of the world. You let them see Christ in you. But you can't be a friend. Listen, you can't love the world. Bible said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He's not talking about loving their soul. He's talking about loving their ways. You can't love their ways and know how. To have know-how. You think that you can be saved and go through this world. You know how to go through this world without selling out, without being sanctified, without living holy, without drawing nigh to God. The Bible is clear for us to submit ourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. You want to know how to get close to God? There it is. Amen. Watch who you're around. Fellowship, mind spiritual things, same things with God people. Walk by the same rule. Mark them which are contrary. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, even tell you weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. It was that dangerous, whose end is destruction, whose God is in their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Now that tells me how not to walk. I don't want to be like them. I don't want to be one of them. Then I shouldn't do that. Paul said, I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. I know how to live. It's about knowing Him, walking with Him. Amen? Praying, having that relationship with Him. Not only, listen, we know Him in spirit. We know Him in spirit. When we know Him in spirit, then He'll change the flesh. Verse 20 and 21, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. See, we have the knowledge of Christ, to know Him, to be like Him in spirit. Then He'll change our body to be like His body. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be like Him, body and spirit. Amen? Isn't that good? What a hope! Amen. What a glorious hope for the child of God. You know He's coming again. Amen. You know what He said. You know that you and I are to keep going. Abide. Amen. I don't know that I can get all this. That I may know Him. Let me move on into chapter 4. Verse number 5, He said, the Lord's at hand. He's coming. He's going to change us. He's going to change His body. Know Him in spirit. Know Him in your mind and your soul. Know Him.
Paul said, I know how to be abased. Why? Because Christ was abased. He came low. The more Paul was like Christ, the more he knew how to be abased. Listen, the carnal man don't know how to be abased. He thinks he knows how to abound, and he loves to abound, but he doesn't know how to be abased. He wants to be full, but he doesn't know how to be hungry. He wants to abound, but he doesn't know how to suffer need. Do you not think when our Lord lived down here that he didn't need some things? I'd say if you walked with Jesus, you probably heard his stomach growl many a time. He's probably thirsty, Brother Danny, many a times in that Palestinian heat. He'd have probably liked to have had a soft bed some nights. He said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Yeah, he needed some things. In the flesh, he would have liked to have some things, but he knew how to suffer need. If I'm going to suffer with Christ, if I'm going to know him, listen, we know him not only, again, and that should be the encouragement, not only in his suffering, but also in his power. The power to ask the Father for something and it be done. Amen? The power to walk in this world and the temptations of Satan, 1, 2, 3, do not avail. Why? Because you have his word. You know. You know how. You've been instructed. You've learned. Many of it's been saved for years. Look at all that you've learned. All that God has taught you. All that you've been instructed. You're a different Christian than you was when you first got saved. Ain't you? Sure you are. You can't help, if you're a child of God, you can't help but grow. You can't help but go from milk to meat. Amen? Every now and then I'm thirsty, I like a good bottle of milk. But if I'm really going to eat, I want some meat. Used to, milk satisfied me plenty. Not anymore. I've got to have some meat. Paul said, I know. Verse 6. Look at this. I want you to look at this. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer. He's given us instruction, know-how, right here. And supplication. But in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the God of peace. And the peace of God, I'm sorry. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through who? Christ Jesus. Through your knowledge of Him. Through your relationship with Him. Through your knowing of Him. That's what He's talking about in both of these chapters. You want to know the peace of God? You want to have peace about a prayer? Well, be careful for nothing, which means don't. I mean, you can come to Him in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Don't forget that. If you'll do it, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He is our peace. That's what the Bible says, for He is our peace. So you know what we do? We try to find peace in that thing that we're praying about. Peace is in who we're praying to, not what we're praying about. I know He'll do what's best for me. I know He heard me. Glory! He's my high priest. That's what He's doing up there. Waiting for me to come. Waiting for me to bring my prayer, my supplication, my thanksgiving. Thank You, Lord, for hearing my prayer. Boy, there's peace right there. Do you know that? Long as I know He knows, amen, I've got peace. I know how to have peace. You know how to have peace. You know how. You may not have knew you know how, but you just found out how, didn't you? You just found out that you knew how. Finally, brethren, whatso things are true, I can't get all this. I don't have time. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, every bit of this, He's telling you how. How to think, how to pray, how to live, how to walk, who to look to. Always who. Your peace, Your love, Your grace, Your redemption, everything is in a who, not in a what. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. That now at the last your care of me hath flourished. Again, He was talking about when they had sent that offering. Do you know who He was looking? He wasn't looking to them. He was looking to Him. I've learned whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know if I'm going to get through this life without being one of these kind of Christians, I know I need to be content in whatever state I'm in. I've learned, and whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed. Listen, this ain't for part of your life. This is for all of your life. Some people want their Christian life to be separated from their secular life. And it can't. Everywhere and in all things, everything about my life, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You need to quote this with me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's your verse. I know how. Why? I can do it through Him. He strengthens me. I can do it. Say I can do it. I can do it. I'm going to get on that mountaintop, amen. I'm going to get out of this valley. I'm going to get my prayer into the third heaven, amen. I'll go home. I'll be hungry. I'll be happy and hungry, amen. That's right, because He knows. because he knows. I want you to stand this morning. There's no way I can get all this. Lord of mercy, what a thought.